Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Compliance Week News Podcast for the week of Monday, February 28th. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we're going to revisit the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and some new legal wrangling over exactly who qualifies as a foreign official under that law. The FCPA, of course, prohibits U.S. companies from bribing officials of foreign governments. But a criminal case unfolding in Southern California right now is challenging the question of whether employees at a state-owned foreign company actually qualify as government officials under the law. Essentially, the Justice Department has long maintained that, yes, these employees do. But four former executives of Control Components Incorporated in Orange County, California, who are facing FCPA charges, they have been filing motions actually saying that no, such employees do not qualify as foreign government officials. Now, this is one of the first times we have seen this particular question on exactly who a foreign official is actually get litigated in court. So to discuss the case and where it might go, we're joined today by Tom Fox. He is an independent FCPA consultant based in Houston, and he writes about FCPA issues on his website, tfoxlaw.com, and he has joined us several times before. So, Tom, it's great to have you back again.
Thank you, Matt.
First question here is maybe if you can give us a basic summary of the charges confronting these four people from Control Components and history of the case. CCI has been around for a while in the courts. They've had bribery charges come up under the Travel Act and whatnot. So what is the backstory here?
CCI pled guilty to numerous and substantive FCPA violations back in the summer of 2009. These four defendants were employees of CCI who have not yet entered a plea. The allegations against CCI were that they paid approximately $7.5 million in bribes from 1998 through 2007 to obtain business in the Far East and in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Where does the case stand right now?
As it stands now, the four defendants are going through the pretrial procedure. We're not aware of any trial dates set. As you mentioned, the defendants have filed a motion to dismiss certain of the FCPA claims. Mm-hmm. I should mention that there are a couple of other factors related to the individual defendants which make this case unique. You did touch on the Travel Act. This was really the first case in many years that the government has brought a claim under the Travel Act. And the Travel Act is a Kennedy-era statute that was aimed at organized crime, and it basically says that if payment of a bribe is illegal under state law, then that becomes a federal crime. The key here is that these individual defendants were in California. California has a state law which prohibits commercial bribery, that is bribery between two private citizens of an amount over $1,000. So here we have the rather anomalous situation that individuals who engaged in conduct that was not in violation of the FCPA, or at least did not involve governmental officials, have also been brought up on charges for violating California's state commercial bribery statute in the context of the federal FCPA charges against them.
And I know that the defendants have raised several points about the scope of the FCPA as Congress originally intended back when they passed it in the 70s and the practical realities of dealing with state-owned companies in countries where that is the norm rather than the exception, as in the U.S. I mean, can you walk us through their motions and their thought process on why a state employee should or should not be a foreign official?
Sure. What they've actually said, Matt, is that state-owned companies are not instrumentalities of a foreign government, which the FCPA, of course, focuses on foreign governmental employees. They have to have a foreign governmental employer. And they've made five general arguments in their behalf. The first is, under the plain meaning of the statute, instrumentality refers only to a specific governmental unit, a department or agency, and that's sort of a statutory construction that most lawyers would be familiar with. They also say that because the word instrumentality follows the words department and agency. Under one theory of statutory construction, you follow the words from general to the specific, and that the last word, being instrumentality, would relate to the two words before it. There's another form of statutory construction that sort of takes the opposite approach, which says you look at the last word, and if it's a general word, it expands the definition of the words before it. So the defendants really didn't focus on that last point of statutory construction, and that may be one of the areas that the government would explore in their brief. Mm-hmm. The second prong that the defendants set forth is that the government's interpretation would lead to what they call absurd results, and they cite the example of the energy company Citgo, which is headquartered here in Houston, that's actually been owned for the last 20 years by PDVSA, the Venezuelan national oil company, and that under the government's interpretation, U.S. citizens working here in Houston could be foreign governmental officials because they are employees of a state-owned enterprise here in the United States. The third is that Congress did not intend to have the statute cover payments made to employees of state-owned businesses, rather that the FCPA is aimed directly at the bribing of foreign governmental officials. The fourth is that Congress knows how to define the term instrumentality, and should wish to define that in terms of a government ownership of a commercial enterprise, Congress could certainly have done so, but it did not. And the fifth is a general claim that the statute is unconstitutionally vague because the government has never explained with clarity what a state-owned business might be in the context of the FCPA. So, for instance, is a minority investment enough? Do you have to have majority control? Must you exercise direct control? Does it mean voting rights? Really no definition, and therefore it makes this portion of the statute unconstitutionally vague.
Okay.
And those are the 5 points they've raised.
So this issue of who a foreign official is, this really has never been litigated before, and that we don't have any court decisions or other guidance from the courts about how this might get decided?
Nope. There's no court cases interpreting this. It has to do probably with a rather unique situation under the FCPA that most of the cases until rather recently were brought against corporations. Mm-hmm. And as you know, most corporations do not want to either, they don't want to risk going to trial and perhaps take a guilty verdict and happen to them what happened to Arthur Anderson.
Sure.
So they plead guilty, they take a deferred prosecution agreement, and there's no judicial interpretation which any lawyer or any layperson can look to for guidance on this. What we have here is four individuals who are looking at significant jail time and complete forfeitures of all of their assets, whose backs are up against the wall and are probably going to put up every defense that they possibly can, I should say.
Do you have any sense of which arguments here might be most persuasive or how the case might go?
Well, the first thing I would emphasize is this is probably going to take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The first will take just a briefing and decision by the federal district court, and that could take 6 to 9 months. This issue, if it gets appealed, would probably not go up on appeal until after a trial. So we may be looking at some period of time before a trial and then a couple of years on that, and then thereafter it could go to the Supreme Court, which could take another 3 to 5 years. So you may be looking at a long time. Probably, though, on the actual defenses, the first one on the plain meaning of the statute is the one that's going to be the closestly litigated and fought by the government, because the plain meaning might well be that it only applies to foreign governments and the agencies of foreign governments and departments of foreign governments. And there's really no legislative history in the FCPA, or I should say the legislative history does not reveal that Congress talked about or intended it to apply to commercial enterprises which were owned by foreign governments. So they're probably going to focus on the first part as well.
Mm-hmm. And, maybe one other question then while I think of it, but the FCPA was only passed about 30 or 35 years ago. It's not ancient history. Do we have any sense of what Congress was originally thinking way back then?
Well, Congress was focused directly on U.S. corporations who were bribing foreign governments overseas, and taking those bribe payments as tax deductions.
Okay.
When you listen to Stanley Sporkin or any of the authors of the bill, that's what they were focused on, was it was directly U.S. companies bribing foreign governments and then reporting it on their taxes.
Mm-hmm. And anything else interesting about this case we should remember or keep in mind?
Well, the one last point that one of the defendants, Rose Carson, was alleged to have destroyed documents during the company's internal investigation. That later became a federal a claim of violation of a federal obstruction of justice. So there may even be sort of a Fourth Amendment or Miranda warning if you do something during a company's internal investigation that gets turned over to the government, that may become something companies have to warn their employees about.
Mm-hmm.
So this case has a lot of interesting twists and turns, and it's something lawyers are very much going to enjoy, and it probably become a law review exam question at some point.
All right. Well, Tom, that's all the time we have today, but you covered plenty of ground for us, so thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Again, everybody, that was Tom Fox. He is an independent FCPA consultant talking with us today about the criminal case ongoing in California trying to raise the question of who a foreign official is as defined under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. You can find plenty of other commentary about this case online, and Tom in particular is over at T. Fox Law, so you can look for his thoughts on the case there. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.